ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकाम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां सहगजातं सहगना रघुनतान्वितं त्वं सजीवाम् सद्वैतं सवदूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवाम्। श्रीराधा कृष्णपदं सहगना ललित श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपीशा गोपिका कान्त राधा कान्त नमोस्तुते। सप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरे प्रिये। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायं मुदीरयेत्। नस्तप्रयशभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवयाम् भागवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। मुखं करोति वाचलं पाङ्गुं लाङ्गायते गिरिं यत्कृपात्महं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारणम् यत्कृपात्महं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारणम् So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 6, chapter 1, entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil, and today we are studying text number 21. Kanya Kubje Dvijaha Kaschid Dasi Patir Ajamilaha Namna Nasta Sadacharo Dasyaha Samsarga Dushitaha. Kanya Kubje Dvija Kaschid Dasi Patira Jamilaha Anam nanasta sadacharo. Dasya samsarga dushitaha. Kanya kubje dvijakaschid. Dasipati rajamilaha. Nam nanasta sadacharo. Dasya samsarga dushitaha. Kanya kubje dvijakaschid. Dasi patira jamilaha. Nam nanasta sadacharo. Dasya samsarga dushitaha. Ladies, Kanya Kubje, in the city of Kanya Kubja, Kanauj, a town near Kanpur, Dwijaha, Brahmana. Kaschit, some. Dasi Patihi, the husband of a low class woman or prostitute. Ajamilaha, Ajamil, Namna, by name, Nasta. Sat acharaha, who lost all brahminical qualities. Dasyaha, of the prostitute or maid servant. Samsarga dushitaha, contaminated by the association. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. In the city known as Kanya Kubja, there was a Brahmana named Ajamil who married a prostitute maidservant and lost all his brahminical qualities because of the association of that low-class woman. kindly repeat after me. In the city known as Kanyakubja, there was a Brahmana named Ajamila, who married a prostitute maidservant and lost all his brahminical qualities because of the association of that low-class woman. Purport. The fault of illicit connection with women is that it makes one lose all brahminical qualities. In India, there is still a class of servants called Shudras, whose maid servant wives are called Shudranis. Sometimes people who are very lusty establish relationships with such maid servants and sweeping women, since in the higher statuses of society they cannot indulge in the habit of woman hunting, which is strictly prohibited by social convention. Ajamila, a qualified Brahmana youth, lost all his brahminical qualities because of his association with a prostitute. But he was ultimately saved because he had begun the process of bhakti yoga. Therefore, in the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami spoke of the person who has only once surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord, Mana Krishna Padaravindayo, or has just begun the bhakti yoga process. Bhakti yoga begins with Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting of Lord Vishnu's names, as in the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting is the beginning of bhakti yoga. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Harel Nama, Harel Nama, Harel Nama eva kevalam, kalo nasyeva, 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 gatir anyatha. Translation, in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is always superbly effective, but it is especially effective in this age of Kali. Its practical effectiveness will now be explained by Shukadeva Goswami through the history of Ajamila, who was freed from the hands of the Yamadutas simply because of chanting the holy name of Narayana. Parikshit Maharaj's original question was how to be freed from falling down into hell or into the hands of the Yamadutas. In reply, Shukadeva Goswami is citing this old historical example to convince Parikshit Maharaj of the potency of Bhakti Yoga, which begins simply with the chanting of the Lord's name. All the great authorities of Bhakti Yoga recommend the devotional process beginning with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Tan Nama Grahana Dibihi. So this is the beginning of a very wonderful narration by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. Many of the, actually Bhagavatam is full of different such narrations citing historical happenings, events that have taken place sometimes even in previous millenniums. Through such stories one can pick up, learn various important instructions. It just so happens that this particular instruction is most important for all of us, and it is one of the basic foundational pillars that we find actually in the Vedic culture. Two very major instructions which are being given in this whole narration. And the first one has to do with the question of what is called association or Sangha. Lord Chaitanya, as we know, has very clearly explained how associating with any person or any ideology or any activity which is not helping us to become self-realized, which is not connected ultimately with Krishna, which is in the category of what is called asat, should be rejected. Asat sanga tyaga e vaishnava achar stri sangi eko sadhu krishna abhakta ar. One of the famous, one of many instructions given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that especially in the Vedic culture, one is taught from very early childhood, and the whole setup of the Vedic culture is such that there is planned what is called segregation. You know, it is not artificial. And it has a very clear purpose. Segregation of men and women. Very important principle. It's a fundamental principle, actually, in the Vedic culture, whereby a young boy and a young girl are taught to be celibate, to remain celibate, to remain pure until they are ready to enter into the householder or grihastha ashram. So, sangha, asat sangha, especially as the verse we quoted from Lord Chaitanya indicates, stri sangha is actually mentioned, it's the top of the list. The whole story of Ajamil is connected with the fact that he did not, although he was actually born in a Brahmana family, very auspicious birth, to be born in a Brahmana family and to get the opportunity. Srila Prabhupada explains that by some great fortune I was born in a Vaishnava family. My Guru Maharaj was also born in a Vaishnava family. And this means that actually from birth, even before birth, isn't it? That's why the whole Vedic culture, training, Prabhupada quotes here how Shravanam Kirtanam leads to Vishnu Smaranam, remembering Vishnu. So that begins actually even before we are born. Vedic culture therefore has the Garbhadhana Samskara. And during the pregnancy period, one hears, one should hear various recitals or instructions from sadhus or shastra. And throughout the entire life, one's entire life, actually, one is in this way trained, especially the brahmachari. Yeah, brahmachari life. Actually, Ajamil was having that training. So it means that actually even with this training, even having been born in a Brahmana family, even having been trained as a brahmachari, he was married. Actually, he was before taking up this prostitute, as we know, he was already married. So it means he had followed all of the different samskaras. So just see, you know, even though a personality like Ajamil had all the good chances in the world to, you know, to remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, still due to some weakness that was there, because as soon as we neglect to control our senses, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, any one of our senses can just lead us away from the proper path or the proper direction. So Ajamil had seen, while he was walking, again, you know, he had gone through all the samskaras and everything, but he had seen a prostitute embracing another person, and in this way, because of through the eyes, he became attracted, and therefore he actually ended up marrying that, or living with that prostitute for his whole life. And the whole story, of course, is going to be narrated. So Vedic culture is very, very strong on this point, and that's why if one goes to the Western countries where this kind of segregation is not existing, and therefore we have all kinds of what we call promiscuity and all kinds of well, Prabhupada explains about the Varna Sankara. Varna Sankara is that situation where one no longer respects the principles of proper association. Prabhupada explains how in the Western countries one cannot differentiate. One cannot know who is who. And of course, we won't go into details, but it has become very, extreme, isn't it? one cannot identify who is a boy and who is a girl. And of course, the whole Western civilization has already gone to hell in so many ways because of being disconnected with the Vedic norm or the Vedic culture. Vedic norm, Vedic culture, and these principles. Vedic culture is teaching us fundamental principles, and they are not meant only for Asia or India. You know, these fundamental Vedic principles, because Veda means it is teaching Sanatan Dharma, isn't it? Sanatan Dharma is meant to be, the basic principles of this Sanatan Dharma are applicable both in the East and in the West, because they are universal principles. This is actually the beauty of Krishna consciousness. This is the beauty of the Vedic culture, is that it is based on very, to use a popular term, which hopefully you can identify with, Vedic culture is based on sustainable systems, both on the material level and also on the spiritual level. And that is why, if we analyze other so-called cultures or other so-called teachings, the Vedic culture is very unique in that it is going into detail, into great details in terms of how we should live our lives, how we should conduct our affairs, how we should earn livelihood, isn't it? What are the principles in terms of, their whole science? There are different sciences which are taught when one is young, if one is fortunate to get this training, Gurukul training. Very important, actually, to understand, for example, and this is one of the important features of the Vedic culture, simplicity. Simplicity of thought, simplicity of action, simplicity of words, means no duplicity. Modern civilization is, unless you're duplicitous, you can't get around. You cannot be honest in modern day society. So Vedic culture is based on very simple systems, scientific systems. And once we learn these scientific systems, basic systems, then we can deal and cope with life very nicely, very effectively. These are, of course, these principles are especially taught in the Gurukul, and they are taught to all the members of society, every single member, both men and women, in different ways, through what is called formal education, non-formal education, informal education. One receives sometimes by studying books or hearing, sometimes by watching or seeing somebody acting, sometimes through culture. this is one of the, wanted to mention two points. The first one is in regards to association. So therefore Vedic culture intentionally, as we mentioned before, has separate education for boys, separate education for girls. It's not that girls don't have education, but they have a separate education. When Srila Prabhupada was speaking about Varnashram College is actually that educational institution that Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish many years ago. We've not actually done it so far. Whereby all the members of society would be taught about the basic principles of Vedic culture. Vedic culture actually means Bhagavad Dharma and Varnashrama Dharma combined. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot neglect either the spiritual nor the material dimension. Otherwise it becomes lopsided, imbalanced, you see. Both are actually necessary because our reality, our existence is on these two levels. We have a material body, we are dealing with the material energy in the material world, therefore we must know what is that material energy and how to deal with it, how to properly utilize it. And we are the spirit soul, so we must know also what is the science for the spirit soul. This very important point, and so many years ago, as we know, Srila Prabhupada had introduced Gurukula. We still have, but not as much developed as it should be, because Gurukul system is actually the standard Vedic system. So when Prabhupada, it's very interesting, when Prabhupada was discussing about Varnashram College, so one devotee during the conversation was asking Srila Prabhupada, is Varnashram College for is Varnashram College for girls? Prabhupada said, no. No, it's not for girls. Girls are meant to have a separate education. Education is there, but it's for separate. Varnashram College especially is meant to train individuals to become brahmanas, to train individuals to become kshatriyas, vaishyas, and also to train individuals to become shudras. Because shudra, although here it mentions about shudra, shudra is a very major topic actually, which very often many people in general, or including devotees, are hesitant to discuss about shudras. But shudras are actually very important members of the, we could say, Vedic culture. They are members of culture. They are members of a civilized a group. Civilization, Prabhupada explains, begins when one follows the basic principles of varna and ashrama. And therefore, if one is shudra, qualified shudra, as nicely explained by Narada Muni later on in the Bhagavatam, 7th canto of the Bhagavatam, then shudras actually have, when they are properly qualified and serving nicely under qualified brahmanas or kshatriyas or vaishyas, then they are extremely helpful, important within society. When shudras are not properly guided, and now we have a very critical situation, actually, both in India and all over the world, we are lacking, isn't it? That was Srila Prabhupada's main intent or purpose, was to create this society. First and foremost, to train up a class of qualified brahmanas, who in turn would train up a qualified class of kshatriyas, a qualified class of vaishyas, and a qualified class of shudras as well. So when we are lacking in qualified brahmanas, in qualified kshatriyas and vaishyas, then shudras have no one to follow. They have no one to serve, you see. So they are serving bad masters, because most people actually need a master. Most people, especially in Kali Yuga, isn't it? Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everyone in Kali Yuga is by nature meant to serve. Meant to serve means dependent. Actually, ultimately, on the spiritual platform, that is our position anyways, to serve, isn't it? By nature, we are dasa nu dasa nu das. We are meant to engage in service. So, this whole question of association is very, very critical. Actually, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is also giving very strong emphasis on Sangha. I mean, Sankirtan means congregational chanting, isn't it? So it means that actually in Kali Yuga especially, one cannot properly progress or advance in spiritual life unless one is getting healthy and ongoing sadhu sangha, you see. Because by sadhu sangha, one remains protected. Therefore, spiritual life in Kali Yuga is meant to be taken up in the association of other individuals. Means it's dangerous and not recommended that one just individually, independently try to advance in spiritual life in Kali Yuga. So Lord Chaitanya has inaugurated the Sankirtan movement for that purpose, to provide sadhu sangha. When we are following nicely sadhu sangha, then we will not be influenced by what is a sadhu or outside of the association of devotees. If we keep ourselves always in the association of devotees, this is a very important protection for all of us to advance in spiritual life. So that is one of the important points mentioned here. The other one, of course, has to do with the chanting. And of course, that was discussed in the previous verse, how as soon as one is fortunate to come in contact with the holy name or to come in contact with any activity of devotional service, then one's spiritual life has begun, and one is guaranteed, you know, at one particular point to become successful, to be liberated from this material world. And this is the great benefit and the great fortune of the Sankirtan movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that we are introduced to the chanting of the holy name. And nothing can actually, this we should understand, nothing can actually become successful in Kali Yuga unless there is that link or connection with the holy name. So even, for example, to establish the culture, our Vedic culture, our Bhagavat culture, our Varnashram culture, these are very elaborate, very detailed, and very important. I mean, they are essential cultures. So to establish both of these cultures, we must take up the chanting of the holy name. And as Prabhupada, of course, has reminded us always, and this will be brought up actually in some of the purports as the narration is presented here by Shukadeva Goswami, avoiding offenses against the holy name is what will reduce or slow down our process or progress rather in devotional service. So of course Ajamil in his earlier life had already taken up the process of devotional service, was already chanting, and because of that, although he deviated for the major part of his life, you know, as a youth he left the Brahminical culture, you know, and for his whole life until he was in his 80s. So it's like, you know, for 60 years or so, he was engaged in all kinds of abominable activities, sinful activities. But as the story will narrate, because he was chanting the holy name of Narayana, one of his youngest son's name, therefore, and that was mentioned, I think, in the previous purport, one who has been fortunate to take up the chanting of the holy name or to engage in activities of bhakti devotional service will be spared from the darshan, horrible darshan of the Yamadutas. So one will, Krishna says, isn't it, that anyone who takes up bhakti devotional service, I personally protect, I personally take charge of such a person. So we should know that actually Krishna is directly taking interest in each and every person who takes up the chanting of the holy name, who takes up the process of devotional service. But we should not take advantage in the sense that, well, you know, Krishna is looking after me. So I've already chanted Hare Krishna so many times, so now I can do some nonsense. No. That's one of the offenses, of course, against the holy name. Taking advantage that, you know, the holy name is so powerful that any sinful activity that we can commit, the holy name can wipe it off. But we should not take advantage of that, because it will impede our advancement in our progress in devotional service. So like this, our Vedic culture actually has, especially our connection with Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, is giving stress and importance on a number of things. We mentioned only two, which are referred to here in the purport. One has to do with association. Very important every single day that we associate either directly with sadhus, other devotees, or that we associate with, Prabhupada explains, right, in the Bhagavatam, either the person Bhagavat or the book Bhagavat. This morning, right now, we are associating with the book Bhagavat. And during the day, we have opportunities to associate with persons, Bhagavat, you know, anyone who's staying in the temple. So these are two very powerful associations that we can take advantage of every single day. And if we do that, we remain protected, actually, in our bhakti, in our devotional service. And the second one, as we mentioned, is chanting, taking advantage of this chanting of the holy name, which is another form of protection. Otherwise, Kali Yuga, especially in places like Mumbai and other big cities in India and around the world, cities, Srila Prabhupada has explained, and that's why actually many years ago, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was telling his one and only disciple, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, don't go to Calcutta. Don't go to Calcutta because it's a city and cities are dangerous. So, okay, we can be in the city, but we will be protected and saved if we are connected with a temple like here in Juhu or Chopati Temple, whatever temple is there, and if we are engaged in preaching activities. Otherwise, actually, Prabhupada indicated that if we are not engaged in preaching activities in the cities, we should not be in the cities. This is a big topic and maybe a little controversial one also. But the cities, present-day cities, modern-day cities, are extremely dangerous because they are mostly promoting, isn't it? We see it all the time. Activities of Rajagun and Tamagun, which is, you know, totally opposite to developing spiritual life. So if we continue to associate with the holy name by chanting every single day with as much attention as possible, if we continue to associate with devotees, then we will actually be protected. We will be protected. Otherwise, if we neglect to follow these, or if we neglect, to completely abandon them, as Ajamil did, isn't it? Ajamil just completely forgot, stopped chanting his Gayatri, stopped chanting the holy name, and he must have definitely stopped reading the Bhagavata, whatever he was reading at that time. He stopped all his brahminical activities. So obviously one goes, just completely falls down. We have a few minutes, because I think if that clock is correct, it's about 5 minutes or so. Is that the right time? 8:40? Huh? Approximately. Any questions or comments on our verse this morning? Yes. Probably loudly. Yeah. Is there a mic here? You can start. Maybe I'll hear you. Can you repeat that since the mic has come now?
Maharaj, you are mentioning about separate education for men and women. But also I read a quote from Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada is saying men and women can study together, but there are many ifs and buts, but that which I don't remember, Maharaj.
Prabhupada has said that?
They can study together, but there are many ifs and buts, he mentioned, but that I don't remember.
Well, kindly find me the quote where Prabhupada said that men and women can study together.
Yeah, Maharaj, I'll try to show you, Maharaj.
Because Prabhupada has clearly indicated that women should not attend Varnashram College, for example. And it's just logical as well. Maybe when they're children, that's one thing. But when they are young boys, young teenagers, they definitely should not study together. Yeah. Any other?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
Maharaj, as per Varnasram Dharma, Varnasram system, I heard Srila Prabhupada said, Brahmana, Vaishya, and Kshatriya require training, but normally Shudras, they don't require training. So which kind of training you are talking about?
Yes. So the idea is that there's different kind. I mentioned briefly formal education. Shudra does not need. He cannot take actually formal education. Formal education in the Vedic system is for Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. But there is what is called informal education, informal training, what we call in modern day society vocational training, vocational or apprenticeship. So Shudras, they will take up some skill, and normally that is done by simply associating with somebody. For example, if your father is a carpenter, you just hang around with your father and you carry the tools, and then you start using the tools and like that, you know. So majority of people actually are meant to learn different skills, because when we start to analyze those who are meant, those who are able to take up formal education are actually very few in society. So majority of people should have skills, and those skills are also meant to be connected with, because the basic economy in the Vedic culture is actually agriculture. One of the four sciences which is mentioned in the Kautilya Arthashastra, which is actually the whole science for governing society, the science of governance. So the fourth of the four sciences is called the science of economics. The science of economics, and it is summarized in three words, Krishi Goraksha Vanijam, just like we find in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And Narada Muni explains nicely in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam how Shudras, they actually have, they're meant to develop 9 qualities. Two of them are actually connected with Satyam and Socham, which are two of the basic principles of the pillars of Dharma. And they are meant to be engaged, especially in protecting cows, in assisting to protect cows, you know. So the traditional economy, the norm in society for economy is actually meant to be in connection with land, cows, and production of food. And therefore, we have a major deviation globally, all over the world, and that's why we're in trouble. Yeah, right? Yeah. Yes, microphone. Oh, it's here, okay. Give it over there after, okay.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Maharaj, I have one question. Actually, not question, it's doubt. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that at the time of death, whoever remembers me, he attends me, or he comes to my abode directly.
Yes.
Without fail. So my question is, at the time of death, Ajamil, he chanted the name of Narayana. So why he got the second chance? Directly at that moment, he, why not shifted to kingdom of Krishna?
Yes. Although he chanted the name of Narayana, it was, he was actually thinking about his son, isn't it? He was chanting the name Narayan, but he was thinking about his son. So, because he had performed many pious activities, and also because he chanted the name of the Lord, therefore he got a second opportunity, and he did not immediately go. So, he was saved from the hands of the Yamadutas, and then he was given a chance to again take up his brahminical and devotional activities, and then after that he was, you know, favored to go back. So it means that one needs to be chanting the names fully, purely, and be completely cleansed of all residue, so to speak. Just like the Nectar Devotion mentions that even though we take up the devotional service and to the chanting, it's like the switch has been turned off, but the fan continues a little bit for some time. So like this, Ajamil still has some cleansing, and therefore the Lord did not take him immediately, and he got second chance. But we should avoid getting a second chance. We should prepare ourselves and do our activities in such a way that when our time will come, no Yamadutas will come, and directly Vishnudutas will take us directly to the spiritual world.
Okay. So on this only matter, I have one more question on this matter same.
Yes.
See, as we are in Kali Yuga, if we compare our education with the Ajamil, he was very scholar Brahman in his throughout life. He was very scholar.
Yes.
So still he had faced the near death experience at that moment. Okay, so if we compare our education with his education, so it is compulsory, or it must be that we also devotees of the Krishna. Suppose if we chant the name of Lord at the time of death, it's good. It's everyone chant at the time of death, it's good. But can we experience same near-death experience as Ajamil? Because we are not so much scholar, no, still we are in devotional service, but still we are not so much scholar as compared to Ajamil.
Can we experience near-death experience? Is that your question?
Means just the incident happened that Yamdutas came and Vishnudutas came. Can we experience this thing? Can we get? We also get another chance, second chance to the devotees.
The example of Ajamil is meant to show us that if it happened, you know, to him, that it could happen in the future as well. But the idea is that we should avoid taking that kind of chance. We should just take seriously the process that is given to us, because by taking up the process, then we can avoid. But if we do happen to deviate, like Ajamil, for example, we may find ourselves in that kind of a situation. But it does mention actually at the whole explanation between the Yamadutas. Yamadutas have learned a good lesson from this experience, and it is said that they will never approach again anybody who has chanted the holy name. So Yamadutas probably will never come, but we may be delayed in our going back to Godhead. So the idea is that we should just properly experience, you know, in Kali Yuga especially, life is very short. Within the few years that are there in Kali Yuga, we should take seriously the process, and in this way just have one darshan of the Vishnu Dutas and go back to Godhead. One quick last comment or question.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In second chapter Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentions Hare Krishna. In second chapter Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentions that to Arjuna, he is telling that you are a Kshatriya, so your duty is to fight.
Yes.
Now, how to understand this thing in our lives, and if being a Brahmachari in the temple, then how to understand that ki, okay.
Very simple. If somebody is a Kshatriya, he should fight.
So, being a
Brahmachari. The idea is that we should do things following. Actually, Arjuna did two things that were correct. He followed Krishna's instruction, who was, you know, acting as his teacher or guru. And so therefore, to please him, he acted on the spiritual transcendental platform. And he acted on the material platform by taking up the responsibility of being a Kshatriya. So according to our nature, then we should act within a Krishna conscious frame, serving as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but connected with Krishna consciousness. Arjuna is an ideal example of that person who acted properly both on the spiritual platform and on the material platform. And his so-called material activity of killing, was a devotional activity without any karmic reaction.
Like the second chapter is Sankhya Yoga. Content Sankhya Yoga.
Yeah.
So now, is it so that Prabhupada is mentioning the purport is related with the Sankhya Yoga, and we have to go to the 9th chapter and understand the purport, and we have to, because it is, or to the 12th chapter, which is the devotional service, or?
No, you begin to understand from every chapter. From every chapter, one gradually deepens one's understanding of what Krishna is telling. So Sankhya, the perfection of Sankhya is actually bhakti. The perfection of Sankhya is bhakti. The perfection of yoga is bhakti. So Krishna does, you know, explain different aspects or different levels, but eventually it culminates into bhakti. So yeah, 9th chapter, is called the most confidential, and then the 12th chapter is like about devotional service. So one may be a little confused at times, but there's a whole progression that is there. And So we should try to take out within each chapter what Krishna is explaining, following the various purports or explanations that Prabhupada has given in them. Yeah. I think we should close here. Yes. You don't have a microphone. Quick. This is the last question or comment. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah. Ajamila remembered Narayana at the time of death and went to Vaikuntha, correct?
No. Ajamil remembered Narayan, his son, and he was saved from the Yamadutas, and he continued to live for some time. Then after, he went to Vaikuntha. Jai Granth Raja Mad Bhagavatam Ki, Dai Sri Prabhupada Ki, Gaura Premanandi.